Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
This is WTIC's Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel and Dennis Halnan of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and Dennis by phone at 860-522-9842 or email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com. Get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here are Eric and Dennis on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Yes, and good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we're lucky enough to have in studio Michael Caron, former Pura commissioner. You there, Michael?
Make sure you're on the. I'm here. Good morning.
All right. Sound good. And Kathy Piedemonte, who's also was a utility examiner.
Correct.
And you explained it to me as you're an accountant for electricity rates kind of thing?
Yes, exactly. I'm my job pretty much was a forensic type of accounting, looking at the utility company financial statements.
Gotcha.
For a rate case.
Oh. Sounds like fun.
Is that what you do?
So we've got these folks in the studio with us because, A, when we have Michael on, we got a lot of great feedback about discussing how Pura comes up with the rates, how electricity, the whole electricity compact that happened back in Chicago. I found that very interesting. And Michael said, hey, why don't we come back and talk about how a rate case works? And I got like 30 pages of info that he just gave me. It will make your hair hurt. But Michael, you're gonna let's start first with what is a rate case?
It's a good question. What a rate case is where – so people think that the authority gives the utilities money and they go spend it. It's actually the opposite. Investors put money into this concern. They buy generating plants, wires, transformers, towers – office buildings, trucks, pay people, and then they come to us and say, we made all these decisions, provide the service that we're obligated to do. Anyone asks for electric service, they get electric service.
Yep.
And then they ask us, what we do is we act as an economic regulator. So there's no competition, obviously.
Yeah.
So we step in to force them to act competitively. So we look at all the costs and see, have they done what a normal company would have done in a competitive environment? Did they go out and get number of quotes? Do they have the best vendor? And are they providing both through managerial, technical, and financial ability, their ability? Would they do what a prudent, reasonable manager would have done in the private sector?
That's a heavy lift.
It is, because it's extensive. And I gave you also a copy of a table of contents
yeah.
of the – what rate case was this? The last United Illuminating rate case. Mm-hmm. It's three pages of a table of contents,
right,
and a 259-page decision. Whew. And so the utility has the opportunity, not a guarantee, of earning a certain return on the equity that they've invested.
Mm-hmm.
If they're not reaching that rate of return, the revenue is degrading versus the costs that they're seeing. In the meantime, they're continuing to invest in the plant. We want a safe, reliable system at least cost.
And at least cost.
At least cost.
There you go.
A lot of people like to say affordable, and a lot of people say, my bill's not affordable.
It sure isn't.
But we try to get it at the least cost, and we try to force them to find the best deals they can without
cutting corners
and making the system unsafe and or unreliable.
All right. Well,
I hope the closest bumper sticker I ever got to was at one point in time, we got a bunch of rich people to invest all their money into these things, wires, transformers, generating plants. And we promised to pay them back over the course of 40 or 50 years and give them 9 or 10% for the use of that money.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of it.
Okay. So that's the idea. That's what a rate case is. So you guys have to figure all this out as rank amateurs. You have never done this before, or is this something you get trained for?
No one trains to be a utility regulator. Not nobody, but I know we do have some courses, I think, at Southern Connecticut State University and some other places. But almost everyone you meet in the utility world never had an intention of being in the utility world.
Gotcha.
But it is addicting, believe it or not. For a business with a lot of dry subject matter, there's seldom, if ever, a dull moment.
I can believe that, especially with these big, massive systems. And then, of course, with Kathy involved, after you guys come up with a rate case, you actually then make sure that they're right? You forensically look at that?
Well, actually, when the companies file their rate case applications with us, as Pura staff, what we would do is we would go through their financial statements, just as Michael had stated. So if they're spending, you know, $1 million on a particular expense, we would want to make sure that that $1 million was actually justified and spent in a prudent manner. That's a word that we use a lot, make sure that the spending was prudent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people equate it to the, you know, gold-plated toilets.
Mm.
It was at Pentagon, I guess, years ago.
Right.
So we just want to make sure that the utilities are spending appropriately and not just willy-nilly, if you will.
Okay.
And by the way, when we say application, we're not talking about 4 or 5 pages. Yeah, we'd like this much, and here's what we're doing, and we're going to spend this much in the future.
Right.
It's literally series of volumes of books of schedules, accounting schedules, that is this right about 2 feet high-ish.
What?
Mm.
2 feet high.
2 feet high. 2 feet high.
That's the application.
You could use AI now, just have it ingested into Notebook LM and have Bob and Karen explain it to you now.
Maybe that's something in the future. But for the meantime, it's going through, and our staff would go through all of those documents.
Right.
Some of them are illustrative, but somebody had to go through it, whether it was the customer service, whether it was rates and regulation, whether it was people that looked over the depreciation. The depreciation schedules take us almost a full day of public hearings to go through that, cross-examining the utility, both with the Office of Consumer Counsel and sometimes the Attorney General's office, and our own staff and other interveners who may join in the rate case.
All right. So you wanted to kind of explain this process, and you've got all these flow charts. What do you think our listeners would want to understand about this process? Where would you want to start with it?
Well, one is that I've heard for many years, all you guys do is rubber stamp whatever they ask for. You know, they ask for more. And then you give them a little less than that, and you know it's some big deal you cooked up.
Right.
But the fact is that we are creatures of statute. The authority is a creature of statute.
Right.
That we don't work at any longer.
Right.
And so there are guardrails there. So,
set by the legislature.
Set by the legislature, and also
we're also rank amateurs, by the way, as how electricity works.
they do have some subject matter experts in the nonpartisan staff,
sure.
And I worked with many of them, and they're top notch people.
Yeah,
And then integrating that into the ISO New England regional grid,
right?
Who they actually operate the actual power now.
Okay,
but when it comes down to the distribution level, It's just there's so much to go through. And again, not just the statute, but there's also almost 100 years worth of state, U.S. and Supreme Court precedent decisions that I've identified the fact that utilities have a right to recover their prudently incurred costs,
right,
everything they've spent on and their investments, and receive an opportunity, not a guarantee, to earn a profit. And the states, the commissions, set an authorized amount of profit they can earn.
Mm-hmm.
And if they ever go above it, there's another legal mechanism that if they're above that rate for 6 months or more, they have to share it 50-50 with the ratepayer.
Gotcha.
And it also means they're over-earning, so we'll have them back in for a rate case to set the rates, get them back to a regular, where it should be, essentially, getting the rates right.
And I often see all these commercials paid for by the ratepayers of Eversource. Yeah. I'm sick and tired of seeing Eversource commercials. I mean, I can't imagine how much we're paying for just the commercials of Eversource. We have no other choice anyways to buy Eversource. Why do they even market, for crying out loud? Does that seem prudent to you? I can't buy electricity anywhere else. Why do you have to market anything?
A lot of it is informational. They provide information there. And we have found it to be prudent over the years.
That's fair. You're the guy supposed to do
that. Yeah, I mean, that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Make sure that it happens. So yeah. You go.
There has to be a decent public purpose. And if they've satisfied that requirement, they're entitled to it.
Gotcha. So the ring around the bottom of the Jumbotron at UConn basketball game is a prudent reason for me to see the word Eversource as a ratepayer.
Well, it gives you the it shows you where to go to talk to people about your bill.
Thanks. Don't worry, I know where to go. All right, so we're gonna take a quick break and get back to how a rate case works. And we've got Michael Caron and Kathy Piedemonte, former employees of Pura, to talk about this process with you guys. And I'm looking forward to more, so we'll be right back. All right, we are back, and we're talking electricity, making your hair hurt, with Michael and Kathy, former members of Pura. And Kathy, you wanted to bring up some of the legal requirements of how a rate case has to be looked at.
Yes. It's a very legal process that we have to go through. The company files an application. Actually, what they have to do first is file a letter of intent, letting us know that they're likely filing an application within the next 30 to 60 days, kind of giving Pura the heads up, you know, we're coming in, get ready.
We want a rate increase.
Brace yourself.
Exactly.
Brace yourself.
And and then we are, or Pura is required, I'm still talking,
that's okay.
We,
yeah.
Pura is required to come up with a decision within a certain time period. For electric companies, it's 350 days. For water companies, it's 270 days. And within that time period, we have what's called discovery.
Mm-hmm.
So Pura submits to the companies interrogatories, which basically are data requests saying, we looked at this, but we want more information about this particular expense.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, why did you spend money on this particular item? Can you give us more details?
Mm-hmm.
Not only does Pura have the opportunity to file interrogatories with the company, but the Office of Consumer Counsel, the Attorney General, mm-hmm. and if there are any other interveners or parties that are part of this particular rate case, they are allowed to do so as well. So discovery can run over a period of a few months, and there may be as many as 1,000 interrogatories issued to the companies, which they are required to respond to.
Those are questions, by the way.
Yes. and to give us more information. So we don't necessarily take what they filed in the application at face value, right?
Okay.
We dig deeper and we look at things. And then after that, there are public hearings. So if people are concerned about a proposed rate increase by a particular utility, they will have an opportunity to either send something written into Pura. They can go to public hearings. They can voice their concern, and you know, Pura does listen to everything. Pura does read all of the comments that come into them, and take a look at that. In addition, there are also hearings that are held at Pura in the hearing room, where Pure will have the opportunity to sit across from the company and dig into some of the responses that the company has provided to those data mm-hmm. requests or interrogatories, looking for some additional information.
Gotcha.
And people are allowed to go to those as well. And then after all of that, Pura looks at things. They'll issue a proposed decision.
I forgot the briefs.
Yes, and briefs too.
Legal briefs.
Yes. Legal briefs.
Hundreds of pages.
Hundreds of pages.
But, and reply briefs.
And reply briefs, yes. And then an opportunity for oral argument and all of that. But the point being, it's not just, hey, Eversource is here. This is what we're looking for. Pure goes, oh, yeah, okay. We'll give you some of this. We won't give you all of it. We'll, you get this.
Right.
You don't get this. It's as I said, restricted by a certain time period that Pura will have to issue its final decision.
What happens if you don't?
Then the rates that were requested in the original application will go into effect.
By default.
Yes.
So they win by default.
Yeah. There was no decision. So consequently,
that
the
doesn't
application-
sound fair. The compact doesn't seem to. So why would they win by default? Why wouldn't they not win?
Well, theoretically, the authority could have looked at that application and saw no problems with it.
Yeah.
And let it go.
Gotcha.
For instance, if it were to fail, and this was a problem I had back about 4 years ago now, when the original Aquarian rate case came through,
mm-hmm.
And I did vote for it, but I didn't really agree so much with the decision. But my colleague, Vice Chair Betkoski, was voting against it. And my concern was putting a $48 million rate increase on the ratepayers.
Yeah.
Even though I had serious problems with that particular decision.
Gotcha. Now you talked about this even in our last visit with you, that there's this bill coming due for storm damage.
Yes.
Of $2 billion. So the rate goes automatically if you don't do anything. Yet we can push off storm damage and pay $8 million a month. Or how many million dollars a month that we're paying?
I think it's about $1 million a month in carrying charges.
By not making a decision?
Yes.
But that doesn't make any sense either.
Well, it's the time value of money.
Yeah.
So they're not recovering. So there's a cost there for the utility that they got over $1 billion, almost $2 billion hanging out there.
Right.
That they can't use for a safe, reliable system investment.
Right.
At least cost.
At least cost. Right.
So, and what the former chair was trying to do is encourage them to come in for a rate case where those costs would be ultimately reviewed, determined whether they're prudent or not, and whether they could recover those costs.
Okay.
But we could have done it, and they are doing it currently. There's an open docket currently of doing just that, reviewing the costs, were they prudently incurred, are they allowed to be recovered, and then how are we going to pay for that? I think there was a bill that passed last year into law that gives that allows for a securitization, that is bonding the cost of that out into some term of the future. So what is that term? Are you crossing generations? Because there's a principle about burdening other generations that had no causation of the original cost. They
Wait,
weren't there.
That's a thing?
That's a thing.
Doesn't seem to be a thing in our
really?
Federal government or even our state government. But well, that's a thing?
That's a thing for utilities.
Huh. Huh.
That whoever causes the cost is responsible for the cost.
That's crazy talk.
Oh, wow.
All right.
That's tab talk.
Yeah, let's go. Come on. I like that. So I can't believe that. That's a thing. All right. I wish we'd get that in other areas.
As you see,
yeah,
you can go down a lot of rabbit holes in this business.
Yes.
So you talked about a 2-foot stack of request documents, right, that
right.
come in that you guys have to review in 200 and some odd days. Of those documents, what percentage of those are mandated that you can't touch anyways by the legislature that says this rate request is coming in and we're going to do it this way. But by the way, you guys have told us that you need us to use 1,000 hamsters to spin a wheel, and that's been mandated by the legislature. So you can't touch that. At what percentage of that is kind of part of these rate cases where you're stuck, unable to make any adjustments there?
So, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think a lot of that is part of the public benefits charge component of the bill.
Right.
Off the top of my head, and we should probably come in and talk about the breakdown of the bill sometime. Because in all the components of the bill, there are components within those components. I mean, it gets
right
rabbit holey.
Right.
And so, what is the percentage?
25%? 30%?
I don't think it's that much.
I don't think it's that much.
It might be 20-ish.
Okay. So you guys can't touch it. It is what it is. lease cost, not lease mandates. Cost. Yep. Right. Pass it on to future generations, power not purchase pass it agreements, on to future generations. It's just locked
solar,
in.
Solar panels in a field.
Right.
We have to get a certain percentage that's required. And utility will do it very professionally, very competently.
Of course.
As long as they can recover their costs.
Right. Yeah, they're not able to make any decisions on lease costs. They're just stuck with whatever they right. have to do.
And the past few rate cases, as we've seen, and I think as the Superior Court has ruled, a lot of the costs that were disallowed for them should have been recovered. Mm-hmm. And consequently, those decisions pushed the costs out to the future. So that rate case that I ended up reluctantly voting for had a rate reduction. That company hadn't been in for 10 years. There's mm-hmm. no way that they would need a rate reduction for all the investments they put in the previous 10 years. They were prudently done. So
that doesn't sound right.
So that has to be unwound, and it's going to be. And I think we saw that this week with a remand decision from the UI rate case, I think. So the second one. Oh, it just came out this week.
It did.
What does that mean now?
Well, it means there were some items, for instance, there were penalties put on UI in their return on equity component, that's the part where they make their profit, about English Station not being cleaned up.
Okay.
And I never thought that should have been part of the rate case in the first place. That's separate with DEP mm-hmm. and UI, and mm-hmm. they should deal with that in the courts.
Yeah.
But they did. So they took that out in the new remand and added a few more million dollars back. So there was another 12 cent increase on the bill.
To clean up the thing they had to clean up anyways.
Exactly. So again, didn't save anybody any money. In fact, push costs out into the future, which they have to pay. And then with the carrying charges that are included in some of those things.
All right. Yeah. We're talking electricity. Wow. We're trying to figure out how it works here in Connecticut or doesn't work with Michael Caron, future commissioner of PURA, and Kathy Piedemonte, who is an examiner, a forensic accountant of electricity, if that's a thing, as well. So we'll take a quick break for news, and then we'll get back to talk more with these guys after this quick break. Oh.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/more messy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas has styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
All right, we are back. Lots of discussion off mic. I wish I could have it all on for you guys. I'm learning a lot about electricity. We're lucky enough to have Michael Caron and Kathy Piedemonte, former folks that used to work at Pura, to talk about how a rate case is made. And Michael, you wanted to kind of get into a little bit of the individual items as far as how the rate case goes for, right?
Yeah, sure. So the first thing we look at once we get all the books is what were the investments they had made in the previous interim, let's say 5 years.
Yep. Capital investments. You told me they have a range that they're supposed to fit.
That's separate.
Okay, go ahead. I shouldn't have interrupted.
So in the rate case, all the investments that they put out there, they've spent money on.
Yes.
They're paying bondholders. That's called rate base.
All right.
So they've made previous investments that is a current rate base.
Yep.
And now they have new investments that have to be used and useful. Mm-hmm. They can't just be built in and said, hey, we built that. You owe us.
Right.
Are you using it? Is there utility to the customers? Are they getting benefit from it?
Gotcha.
So once that happens, then ultimately it may very well be put into rate base, the new investment that they've already done.
There's lots of gas power plants, speaking about that just sit there for almost 350 days a year that aren't being used.
Gas power plants are different. They're actually in a competitive market.
Oh, okay.
That's
popped into my head.
It's a good question.
Sitting idle, just doing nothing.
No, and those are peaker plants.
Yeah.
Those are for the days when there's not enough power and you don't want to brown out or black out.
Right.
So that's why they sit there. But then, and they're paid what's called a capacity payment to be available just in case.
Yeah. So what a deal.
We do have a few of those. They wouldn't say so. Sometimes they would, sometimes they wouldn't.
Right.
There was like, so all the new investment gets analyzed by both the OCC and Pura.
Mm-hmm.
And some people will work that up. Then there's also allowable expenses. How many allowable expenses are there? I mean, it's a long list, right?
Yeah. Then, you know, payroll, electricity,
benefits.
Insurance, some benefits.
But don't they get electricity free? They're making it.
Well, I guess I'm thinking more along the lines of, a water company that needs electricity to run.
Gotcha.
But if you're looking at, expenses in general, it's just, what does it cost for them to do business daily?
Yeah. Gotcha. General operating expenses.
General operating expenses, yeah.
And you guys have to determine whether it's lowest cost prudent.
Yes. Yeah.
Gotcha.
I mean, it doesn't always have to be lowest cost, but if you can show a real value proposition that you bought this truck, or let's use composite wires. They're new transmission wires that they're smaller, lighter. They last longer. They can carry more electricity or lose less voltage going down the line, and they have a larger thermal range. Those are all good things.
Mm-hmm.
And if they last longer than the current model of wires, transmission-wise generally, then that's probably a good investment, a worthwhile investment. We would say that's prudent, and you're allowed to recover that because that's for the benefit of the ratepayers, and we think there's a strong benefit versus it degrading sooner.
And that's a very technical thing you guys as commissioners have to realize, but you have I didn't know this. How many people work at Pura?
We think it's when I left in January, it was about 70-ish.
Yep.
I think they're authorized for 85 or so.
So you need a lot of geeks to actually look at that technology and say, hey, Michael, by the way, they're using better copper. This is a good idea. So they have to go review it too.
Proud geeks.
Proud geeks.
Proud geeks.
And you're even saying you can't even find enough of them.
It's not easy.
We have the same problem.
Engineers are tough to find, and you need that kind of technical ability. When I used to serve on the siting council as the chair's designee years ago, one of the board members on the siting council was a former engineer for the companies, and he was also a vice president. I mean, he knew where things were and how they worked, why they worked, but he was also a very reasonable person, and he was a great resource. So if you can find them, they're worth their weight in.
Ironically, you can't afford to live here, so
Bitcoin.
We can't with electricity rates. So they can't. It's kind of a weird circle that I see there, but maybe I'm wrong.
Well, I will say this: Connecticut is at the end of almost all supply chains.
Right.
We have strong social safety nets.
Yes.
We have very strong labor laws, and end of all the pipelines. So all that adds up to being a little more expensive,
a lot more expensive
than other states. And it's not a flag you want to be waving a lot.
No.
But we try to control the costs as best we can.
All right. So you've got we've talked about the fixed costs that they act through their investments. They have guidelines that they have to actually meet within that. What's next?
How about rate design?
We can talk rate design.
Rate design. So rate design is a way we talked about cost causation.
Yes.
All right. Whoever causes the cost pays the cost.
Yes.
Well, when the rates are developed, that's not always the way it works out. Sometimes commercial industrial users end up paying more than their fair share, mm-hmm. but the residential ratepayers may be getting a little less. So there's always this tension to try to find, we use a number of 1.0. If you're at 1.0, you're paying for your costs. Mm-hmm. If you're paying 1.8, 2.1, you're overpaying and under, obviously, under 1.0.
Yeah.
So in the rate design, we try to get that as close as possible as we can to 1.0 for each of the different rate classes, which are, what are there, four or five?
Residential, commercial, industrial.
Schools, churches. Not
public.
Schools, churches.
And, I'm thinking again more along the lines of water, but there's like, you know, public fire and water, right. Not just electricity. So there are a variety of customer classes that you have to like divvy up the pie. So that's one way that we talk about it. So PURA determines the overall revenue requirement for a company. So that's the total dollars that they're going to be allowed to collect from customers. And then when you're going into rate design, it's like, okay, how are we going to divide that pie up?
You decide that?
Yes.
Yes.
Who pays what?
The electric company doesn't care.
No, they do.
They look
at their money.
They're looking for parity. You know, they try to be fair to their ratepayers.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Okay.
It's the boom thing with the mic.
I know.
They're trying to be as fair as they can to the ratepayers, but of course they're out there for their own self-interest as well.
Of course.
All understand that.
Yes.
So again, we try to find without providing what's called rate shock to any one group. So you get them all to parity just by
making a
stroke of a pen,
right?
And just make it all 1.0.
Yeah.
But some who are paying a lot less than the 1.0 would have a real spike.
Right.
And others might have a real drop. So we try to avoid and use gradualism, what we call gradualism, a gradual alignment of getting to that 1.0 parity of all the different rate classes.
So this is a kind of a thing, right? So even when I was part of the water commissioners, we found that folks who used the most water got the least rate, right? Bigger industrial concerns got a deal, which never made any sense to me. You're using mass quantities. You should pay more, as far as I'm concerning. Not in a utility aspect. You shouldn't be. We're not looking for you to buy as much stuff as you can. We're not like selling pencils, and I'm going to give you a deal because you're buying 1,000 more pencils. This is a actual resource, and so for some weird reason, people think of it as pencils, and they ended up giving them a deal. They had no other choice to buy the water. So in my opinion, they should have paid more for it. In the same way, data centers are going to be the same problem. They're going to consume mass quantities and impact our rates. And you're going to have a lot of peak plants sitting around because these guys are going to be causing lots of damage to our rate payers. So you guys have to figure that out, where the data center is going to pay, in my opinion, hopefully two, not one. They really got to pay for what they're about to do.
Well, it sounds like they're probably going to pay for themselves in some way, shape, or form, or the increases to the generation and transmission that they're causing.
But to
your point, with those users that are using more, they also help to even out the electric day, so to speak.
Yes.
So they actually do the system a favor by being on and using so much.
Right, because it's a very balanced system.
When the demand, and you can't see us using our hands here, but
there are
peaks and valleys of the day. It rises during the day as people go to work, and keeps rising, and then it levels, and then when people get home, it doesn't spike, but it rises a little bit, and then it starts dropping off. So you electricity is not about inventory. You can't create inventory. You have to create enough electricity for the demand that's there right that moment within a very narrow tolerance.
With battery technology, though, we could actually maybe fix that.
You could, but there's still a cost to that. But there's certainly there's a great opportunity for battery storage. Again, PURA had been working on energy storage systems solutions in a docket they've been working on for a couple of years.
Gotcha. So all right. So now you've come up with the rate. You've divvied it all up, and you guys have decided who pays more, who pays less, right? And avoid the rate shock. Then what's the next step?
Then we determine the cost of capital.
Yes. Well, cost of capital, that ends up being one of the more contentious parts of a rate case. So that's where it's determined what return on equity is going to be allowed for them to earn on that capital investment that Michael was talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. So companies are allowed to collect a return on their investment, which is the ROE, or overall ROR, rate of return. Mm-hmm. And then they're also allowed to collect a return of the investment. Mm-hmm. And how that happens is, this is going to get real accounting-like on you, through the depreciation expense. Mm-hmm. So when they put plant in place, that plant gets depreciated over a period of time, over a period of what is considered the appropriate useful life for that. Mm-hmm. So in a rate case, the company is allowed to collect money for their depreciation expense. Mm-hmm. That's the return of capital. And then the ROE is the return on. And it becomes contentious because it's one of those things that's part science, part art.
Oh.
Pura staff, there's are financial people on Pura staff that go through all kinds of calculations using CAPM, discounted cash flow. See, this can get really nitty gritty. And Pura staff will come up with a range for an ROE, maybe, you know, somewhere between, I'm just throwing numbers out, 9 and 10%. The company mm-hmm. has filed their application saying we're looking for an ROE of 10.5%. OCC will have
Office of Consumer Council.
Right? Office of Consumer Council will have an ROE expert that will provide a range that they come up with for ROE. So you have all these different parties looking to see what might be the most appropriate return on equity to allow the company. And because you're dealing with hundreds of millions of dollars of capital investment, the return on it is no small part to the company, right? It's no small number for them that they're looking for recovery.
Gotcha. Do they overshoot and hope for the fair number down? I mean, where does that usually come up with that contentious fight?
Yeah, it's usually the rate cases that I've been involved with, and Kathy for that matter, they usually ask for over 10%.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny when these ROEs, when you start seeing them in the briefs, and everyone says, here's what we think the ROE ought to be. Everybody has the same numbers and they have the same, investment classes and you pick the sector in which this company most matches with other groups and they come up with different numbers. And mathematicians are very clever.
Oh yeah.
And they can make a number land wherever they want it to. And so they do.
And that's where your biggest fights are.
And that's where we come in and determine, you know, they made a good point here, but I don't buy that. And you come to something you think is reasonable and give the company the opportunity, not a guarantee, to make that profit on that rate based on the return on equity. And, you know, in talking about the depreciation schedules, you maybe thought, for those listening, taking notes at home, we use Iowa curves.
What's an Iowa
curve? An Iowa curve is it sets for a particular piece of equipment how long that useful life will last, and it's decades.
Yeah.
And it's developed at the University of Iowa once upon a time. Gotcha. So they're known as Iowa curves.
Sounds good. One of the odd things about the state of Connecticut was that, you know, it took Yaleys to figure out that our treasury was mismanaged by the most insane amount of mismanagement possible. Like, they couldn't figure out how to make any money in the treasury, right? That's why we have billions and billions of dollars they wasted in their investments. So the Yale folks figured that out recently, and they have been exposed to say, hey, we stink at managing money. Now you guys have to do this rate work to fight with a company like Eversource, who is going to make money. They're not like our treasurer who didn't understand how to make money. They know how to make money. You guys got to fight with these guys and come up with the answer. That's quite a battle. I can imagine going up against, I mean, if you went up against our treasurer, you'd win every time. But
and just so you know, internally, we had some very robust discussions.
I'm sure you did.
About where things ought to be and what should be included or what should be excluded.
Yeah.
And so it can be a little messy.
Mm-hmm.
But sooner or later, everybody walks away equally miserable, and there we feel go. Like we did a fair
That's exactly right. We're all miserable, Michael. We'll step up for a quick break and talk more about electricity when we get back from this quick break.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison includes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier entirely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks, no cash access, and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
All right, we are back, and we're talking electricity and how it works. And we're trying not to make your hair hurt with Michael Caron and Kathy Piedemonte, former workers over at Pura. And they fought and battled. And every, you know, it's always been, we always... I was railing against Pura for the internet issues forever. I was like, well, why is it a state of Connecticut can't have more than two people doing internet? They're always the bad guy. And they could still be the bad guy, don't get me wrong. But they're actually telling you how their process is made, how they actually come up with these rates. It's not willy-nilly. It's a lot of work that these guys have gone through. Mm-hmm. And so we've learned a lot so far about this, and we want to learn more. So where else do you want to go here with this discussion, Michael?
Well, so I was just thinking about something.
Yeah.
We touched on it earlier. I said there's a bit of a mini rate case that happens during the year. It's an annual thing. Mm. It's called the revenue adjustment mechanism. So when the companies are making their investments, sometimes we work with them to develop what's called a capital tracker.
Yeah.
And that means that they can collect those investment expenditures virtually contemporaneously outside of a rate case.
Gotcha.
So, and that
surprise,
will,
the new
but,
increase.
But it reduces rate shocks
in the future.
Yeah. Okay. And the things that should be done. There's also the component of the nuclear power plant, Millstone.
Mm-hmm.
So that's included in that too. So they put out money, I think it's something like $12 million a month-ish. Maybe it's more than that. I think it's more than that now that I think about it.
It's possible.
So when gas prices are high,
Natural gas,
yeah, which creates most of the electricity in New England.
Yep.
We look like geniuses because we're getting power from Millstone for 4.99 cents per kilowatt hour.
But they're only high because we have such a choke point in getting our natural gas here. We did that to ourselves.
Well, that's a different show.
But no, that's exactly the point. That's exactly the point. I hear you saying we sound like geniuses, but don't tell the legislature that because they're the reason we don't have nice, big, massive gas pipelines down here, so we can sell it on as liquid natural gas on the in the um, in the sound like we talked about 10, 20 years ago. So that's the kind of stuff that drives me nuts, Michael.
Me too.
Yeah.
That would be nice.
Me too.
Yeah. But when the gas prices are low, which they had been for the past few couple of years, 23, 24, 22, we look like dopes. Gotcha. And now we're paying a premium for that $4.99, but it's there.
Right.
So they are allowed to recover that in the revenue adjustment mechanism docket, which is an annual docket. Starts January 1. A decision comes out in May. Mm-hmm. Rates change. Was changing in July 1 to address
right.
those costs.
Yep.
Last year, there was a surplus, so the ratepayers got a benefit and a reduction in the rates. The previous summer, I think it was 2023, the debate internally was to push – there's going to be a cost to the ratepayer.
Yeah.
We had to buy a lot of nuclear power from them.
All right.
So that was going to be a major – spike in people's rates that summer.
Mm-hmm.
And the question and the debate was push it out 3 years or push it out 9 months. And so my colleague, Vice Chairman Bekoski, and I, we decided rip the Band-Aid off,
mm-hmm.
get it done in 9 months.
Yeah.
It's going to hurt. And it did.
It did. Yeah. Still does.
But no, it doesn't because it's
done. I'm still hurting.
That one's done because it was done in 9 months.
Mm-hmm.
And we would have been lambasted anyway, even if we'd done the 3 month. Yeah. The 3 year rather push out,
right.
And again, it creates carrying costs that add up over those 3 years.
So the question, mm-hmm. I mean, we joked about the, you know, we look stupid, we don't look stupid. How does it not get back? So you have this mechanism where PURA is involved and COCC is involved, OCC is involved. How does it not get back to somebody saying, hey, by the way, we would not look like dopes if you guys did open pipelines and did do this? Why is there not a mathematical? You know, what are these ding-dongs doing in legislature to cause these issues? Because you're doing all this heavy lifting. 85 people working at PURA. There should be something you put out that says, oh, by the way, had we done this in this way, our rates would be 30% less. Why do we not get that as the people of Connecticut or as ratepayers in general? Why do we? You're a state agency, the Office of Consumer Counsel. Why does that not happen? Why is it just ignored? I just don't get that part of it.
It's an excellent question, and you're not going to like the answer.
I'm sure I'm not.
It's about jurisdiction. So all those pipelines are overseen by Federal Energy Regulatory Commission down in D.C.
All right.
And so they manage what we call the wholesale power and also wholesale gas.
Fair enough.
And in Connecticut, we do the retail. That is the distribution system, not the transmission system. Same with gas, the local distribution companies.
Yep.
So until it gets to Connecticut, we don't have any control over it. And getting a pipeline from either Pennsylvania through New York, through Massachusetts to Connecticut or directly to Connecticut, that's up to those states. So that's another jurisdiction. And New York has shown no appetite whatsoever to tap their own Marcellus portion of the Marcellus shale and reduce their own people's gas costs / electric costs.
Right.
And Massachusetts has been having this battle as well
of
getting a pipeline through there. So the last thing we did towards that was, I think, the Algonquin pipeline that runs through from southwest through southeastern
Connecticut. I think it runs right through my neighborhood, actually.
Lucky you.
Mm-hmm.
They widened that pipeline about 6 years ago, I guess.
Yeah.
So the diameter is bigger, so it could carry more gas. But the other pipelines, Tennessee and the Iroquois, have not.
Gotcha.
To my knowledge.
They ran a pig down our – they call it a pig.
Yeah, the pig.
And they ran it down there, and they found actually some sort of leak in my neighbor's – yard, and you should have seen the hole they made to fix that pipe.
Yeah, because you don't want to have a bad day. Yeah,
no, that would have been a big
bad. Like in Bloomfield.
That's what probably happened. Yeah. So, okay, so I hear you on the jurisdiction. However, there should be an advocate that says these things. Had we done this, and the Yaleys figured it out for us, and it took 30 years of bad management fiscally for them to say, hey guys, why are we at the bottom? Where is that? Where is this the agency that says, hey, if we do this, we might. We could do this if, you know, nobody's doing that. And we just act like it's normal.
So there's not an agency that does that, but there is an association. And it's the one that, you know, all state commissions belong to, the National Association of Regulatory Utility Commissions.
They're coming in next.
Otherwise known as NARUC.
All right.
And so we act, I want to say advocates for the states, but advocates for the states in trying to get the feds to identify the problems we all deal with as various regions. But various regions don't always see eye to eye as well. So you can have 24, 25 people agreeing what the problem is, but having a different idea how to solve it.
I'd love to see those ads, Eversource. Why, if you care about us, get that association to tell us where we could be doing better rather than whatever you're telling us now. Hey, we turned the power on.
Eric, you could be an intervener.
I could be something. I could be something. My wife won't let me. All right. So I want to thank you guys so much for being here.
Thank you.
And we'd love to have you back if there's any more you want to discuss about rates, because I think we need to understand as ratepayers how electricity works so that we can go back to our legislators and explain to them. So Michael Caron and Kathy Piedemonte, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure.
All right. And we want to thank you guys for joining us on this Saturday morning, as you always do. I want to thank Joey Burgoyne for producing for us, Mike G for posting everything over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com and over at our Facebook pages and X pages.
And remember, we want you to be geeks too.
We will see you guys next Saturday.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm.
Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier entirely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Diamond Dynasty has all new Red Diamond cards and World Baseball Classic content in MLB The Show 26. Collect your favorites and compete against the best. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players Inc.